Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We are live and welcoming here with us tonight. We hope that you call somebody and tell them that we're on the radio tonight, and we'll be much obliged for that. Praise God. We need to get as many in the broad-based listening spectrum. We'd like to max out our broadband here tonight. We're coming to you live and direct from the flagship station, 100.3, the great state of Idaho, and we are very thankful that we have a voice around the world through 100.3 that will bring about the revelation of the gospel, and we hope that we have something tonight in the way of the gospel that will help you to understand that we're not alone. We never have been alone, ladies and gentlemen. We may think we're alone, because for the thousands of years, it seems, in history, that there's not been anyone to appear from out of the heavens and identify themselves as, well, watchers or astronauts like we would go to other planets. You know that if we have the technology, you know it's a foregone conclusion. We've already been to the moon, supposedly. And some people, including myself, believe that the moon thing was just a fake. They didn't have to go to the moon. We've already been there. We believe that we've been going to and from the planets since possibly the 40s or 50s, that we've had the technology already backmasking fallen ships. If you would look out in New Mexico, at Roswell, the Air Force acknowledged that a spaceship with humanoids, if you will, little men, little strange creatures. They didn't look like earthlings. They looked like sort of reptilian slanted eyes and things of this nature. So they actually announced it in the paper, and it was in the press. And then they retracted. They saw the government, look like the government began to see the consequences of telling its people, or the people of the earth. And this news would have spread like wildfire. But they suppressed it, changed it, that it was a weather balloon that had crashed on the rancher's property out in New Mexico at around Roswell. And it's become world famous around the world as a place where a balloon crashed, and these freakish type people believe that it was a spaceship. But if you go back, there's many books been written on. These books have documented history, eyewitnesses. Actually, the family of the rancher, remember, he was jailed, harassed, intimidated, life-threatened, and everything else if he spoke one word. But his children now are talking. One of his sons became a doctor, a very prominent doctor, and he spoke out. Well, eyewitness accounts of others other than the rancher. Matter of fact, to some of the military men in retirement, near death begin to speak out. That there was a craft, this is called a UFO, an unidentified flying object, with occupants on board. This thing was loaded, taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, under wraps, under security, close national security. And from then, we have been given the runaround about what's going on in our country. Well, you know, all we got to do, I mean, there's no great mystery to me about it. I've always believed that we are not alone, that we have others to watch over us, to watch this earth and observe what's going on. So it's nothing strange to me to have this going on in our life. Now, I want to read you a scripture here in the book of Daniel that sort of sets the tone for us as we go into tonight's message, which will be Fallen Angels of the Dark Lagoon. Now, we do know that there was a fish god. People that actually look like fish. They had fins. They breathed through their fins. They didn't breathe as we did. And the Dogon tribe out of Timbuktu, Africa, they have long held that these Dagon people, I call them the Dagon people, they're originally Dogon tribe in East Africa, they actually knew of Sirius and Sirius B. Now, Sirius is a very bright star, as you very well know, in our constellation. And they knew all about the orbit, the time that Sirius B was a dwarf star. In other words, a star that had burned out. And we only come to that conclusion here lately. And these primitive tribes already knew that. And they asked them how they knew all this, proved to be true. And they said that they were visited hundreds of years ago by these people that look like fish. They walked on land, but they breathed through gills and things of this nature. And they had technology that was far superior to anything that they'd ever seen, because they hadn't seen much in it being a primitive tribe. But they worshiped these people after they left, and they passed it down. The oral history of it was passed down to every generation, and it was accurate, found in the 30s, found to be accurate. Provable. Science proved it. So here we go. Well, isn't that what happened to Daniel on the riverbank? When he himself was being talked to by these beings that came and visited him. Well, who were they? Well, the Bible says, and I want to give you some word searching here and give you a little project to work on. Listen to this. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now, this is in Daniel chapter 4. And if you read the whole chapter, you're going to find that it's Daniel's second dream, and he didn't understand what he was dreaming until he got the interpretation of his dream by this mighty watcher. Now, what's a watcher? Well, it's somebody that watches the affairs of man, somebody that's maybe a little smarter than man. Did you know that angels, the Bible said angels are a little higher than man, and man's a little lower. But we're in the same class of offspring. There's similarities that are strikingly similar, that we ought to know that we're not alone, that we've got progenitors. And so then, if you go back and ask yourself some of the questions that are, you know, begging to be answered, who are these watchers? Well, the matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. That's Strong's number 6922. The holy ones. Think now, look at it. Strong's number 6922. And that's the gods from heaven, or the angels. Watchers are those who are given charge. Did you know that the angels are given charge over us? Some good and some bad. Now, we're going to have to live with both. And that's the dilemma of man. We have had to live with both the good angels. Now, why would angels go bad? Does the Bible talk about bad angels? Yes, it does. It says that those angels that transgressed were cast down. In other words, where they lived, what planet they were from, that's all it is. Whatever planet that they were from, they were excluded or exiled, sent away from that planet, not permitted any longer to live there. And that's exactly what the Bible says about angels that transgressed, that they were cast out of heaven. Now, this is amazing to me. Now, the word heaven, in most people's mind, projects a religious, you know, little spirits are floating around, and heaven is an imaginary place. It's certainly not a real place. It's just something that we to worship and to hope that we go there when they say, no. Ladies and gentlemen, we're far too religious. The Bible speaks about men and women being too religious. And it talks about the religion being in vain. If we would simplify and accept the very fact that we, on the earth, out here in this vast expanse with other planets, billions of planets, billions and billions and billions of systems, star systems. And it says that Yahweh calls all of them by name and numbers them. Now, is there such an intelligent species that would have access to the knowledge of the universe far beyond our realization? Yes. The answer is yes. These are the watchers. Remember, Satan was a watcher. He was watching Eve. She didn't know he was around. When he began to watch what Eve was doing and whatever she was participating in, she was not aware that Satan was watching her. Oh, but he was. And the Bible says that he began to lust for her and to desire her. This is written in the book of Enoch, that Satan, this mighty angel, this beautiful angel, he was one of the chief archangels. He walked, I mean, he had authority that extended far beyond the norm of authority. He was so wise and so intelligent. He was a master of technology. He was a master of logic and reasoning and things of this nature and scientific analysis and appraisals, that he presented such a beautiful picture, painted such a beautiful picture to Eve that she was so overcome by his beauty. The Bible says this in Isaiah 14 and in the book of Ezekiel chapter 31 and chapter 28. So we have those three chapters as base sources that these were not trees in the garden. They're coded. The Bible's written in a code, a certain code, to keep certain people from seeing the truth. You say, why would the Bible do that? Well, Yahweh himself has sent most of the people on the planet a strong delusion. He said, well, Betty, I never heard such a statement. Well, that's what the Bible says, that Yahweh himself will send them such a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. Because, now there's a reason for that. Because there is such an influx of deception, deceit, and sin and blood and race mixing called miscegenation. That the serpent has entwined his blood into the house of Israel, or the chosen seed, to bear the blood, literal blood of God Almighty upon the earth. You say, I didn't know they got any blood upon the earth. Well, he has. His sheep are from his bloodline. You say, oh, Pastor Bate, I never heard of that. Well, if you read the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, can't you understand that the Bible says that he is the root of the bloodline of David? And David was the king over the house of Israel? And that he would sit, Yahweh, that Yahweh would sit upon the throne through the flesh seed line of David. Now, there's a 10-hour message right there of explaining to you the genetics that has been appropriated by Almighty God to produce a family of God's people upon the earth. What a distinctive honor. But see, we've lost our reason, we've lost our knowledge, we've lost our birthright, because Satan has come in and clouded the picture, changed the truth into a lie, and have got even the elect worshiping the creature rather than the progenitor creator. And so here it is, as the are telling us, that when the Father is, and to see, that the Bible said, he said, I said you are gods, in the book of Psalms, Christ quoting this. If he called them gods, then that word cannot be broken. What is a god? Somebody that bears the royal blood, progenitor blood, of the original root race of the gods that created the universe, or that brought it into being, or that control it, and have super technology through whatever means, let that be mind control, or let it be by natural scientific means, it doesn't matter. When Yahweh sat down upon the mountain that Moses was to come up to, the Bible said that the earth literally quaked and a great fire burned on the mountain. Well, if you go to Saudi Arabia and look at Mount Moses, they call it, the Mount of Moses in Saudi Arabia, not down in the southern Sinai Peninsula, where we have been led to believe that the children of Israel wandered through their 4 million people, wandered through that desert for 40 years, and there's not one shred of archaeology evidence, hard evidence, that has ever been detected in the Sinai Desert, southern peninsula, where that many people live for 40 years in that wilderness, in that desert. Not one. The actual route of the Exodus from Egypt went up through Arabia. Paul mentioned it in the book, the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, as Arabia, which, Jerusalem, which is above. Isn't that a strange scripture that Paul would mention Arabia, which is from above? What was he talking about? Not from below, not from down under in a southern peninsula to look for, but look up to Saudi Arabia, where that there is, and it's proven, documented, proven, that the 70 palms, the springs, the bitter springs, and all that route, it's already been documented that that is the journey that the house of Israel took. Why would somebody lie to us and said they went the other way? Well, they don't want you to know the true history of your progenitors. You see, right here in America, we have had 27 sites that have been swept under the rug that proves that the ancient Israelites were in here far longer, predating what we would call our Indian people that were here when Columbus in 1492, that's a joke, discovered America. It's a pure joke. Our ancestral ties to this nation and country goes back through archaeology history. If you go out to the Los Lumas Stone, it's a giant boulder out there that has the Ten Commandments written in ancient, not Aramaic Hebrew, but ancient Paleo Hebrew. Who wrote that on the stone out there thousands of years ago that predates the Indians? Certainly wasn't the Indians, because they didn't know Hebrew. Certainly didn't know Paleo Hebrew. Was it a people here as the Book of Mormon? Joseph Smith was supposed to have translated the Book of Mormon. Well, what's the Book of Mormon all about? And here's where I agree with the Mormon book. Not with the Mormon church now, but the Mormon book. Because, see, the Mormon church has become as 501(c) miscegenated, mixed, and false as the rest of the Babylon. They just become a part of Babylon. But the Mormon Bible surely tells you about the 12 tribes being from the house of Israel in here possessing America, the wilderness land, long before any Cherokee Indians was ever down here in the Smoky Mountains. And I live right in the Smoky Mountains, and I have fasted and prayed in the caves that they slept in. And they wrote in their language. Sequoia developed the Cherokee language from the stone tablets of Paleo Hebrew. There is archaeology evidence, proof, all over the earth. All over the earth. Not just in America. But in ancient China, that there was a generation of the white race long in before the yellow race. I'm talking about mummified mummies. Men that were over 9 to 12 to 13 feet tall. Great red-haired, yellow-haired, blonde-headed, blue-eyed Aryans, not slant-eyed Chinese Asians. So then, this earth has been dominated pre-Adam. Remember I said, here's what you got to understand in your relationship to the Bible as Adam being the first man. That is not true. I'm going to repeat this, but I'm going to pause and let it sink in to you for future reference of thought. Now, this is to provoke you to think. Adam was not the first man upon the earth. A matter of fact, the Bible itself will tell you, but very few people will consider it. Because, I mean, they literally take, well, the Bible said that Adam was the first man. And so Adam is the father of all the people on the earth. They don't say that Adam was the father of all the people on the earth. Well, it says Eve was the mother of all living. Well, now, I could go along with that. Because Eve was the incubator, if you will, of the eternal beings that chose her womb passage from her offspring to come into the earth. And Adam was nothing but a replenisher of something that had already been here. Now, let me repeat that. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1:27. Now, what does that mean? It means just exactly what it says, but you've got to place the emphasis and pause there and reflect on it and broaden your understanding to the depth. We could go back from Adam. We could carry Adam's seed back to Atlantis, that fabled, mythical, lost continent that went beneath the sea, according to some of the writers. And people have long held that there is a missing link between the culturals of Egypt Peru, South America, Mexico, America. And there's a ring. It's just like a ring of fire that some great landmass just suddenly, mysteriously, just went under all of a sudden and disappeared. This is the great pre-existing Genesis 1 covenant that held the mighty men, the red men. See, Adam was a blushing red man. And if you look at the cultures of Egypt, and we're not talking about those that rule there today, because before they ruled, there was a super race of beings that escaped Atlantis, barely with their life, just in time. It was the people that had access to get off the continent and to jump ship, so to speak, that were the remnants of what we're talking about here in this. And these had such incredible technology. They had the angels working with them, or what we call angels. I would like to use a different word, but I just don't know how. The Bible is Elohim. And Elohim is a people. Let me just put it this way. Elohim is a group of mighty ones. And that's exactly what it means. Elohim, the word Elohim means it in the Strong's. If you look it up, a headship company of mighty ones. Now let me repeat that for you so you'll know what I'm talking about. If I use the word Elohim, and hopefully I can use it in place of angels. You know, the word angel is A-N-G-E-L, the last letter identifies Elohim. And they're almost anti-gods, if you will. They wanted to rebel from the laws and the science and the customs of this super race of intelligent beings that controlled Atlantis, Lemuria, over on the Pacific side, which it disappeared also. But these Elohim, these mighty ones, they were going and coming in their starships. They could travel great vast distances from planet heaven, somewhere out in the Pleiades and the constellations of Orion, where we have these other planet systems where our ancestors brought a seed, and everything before it grew in Earth was brought with it, to experiment here on Earth and to bring Earth into the colonized, if you will. They built a colony of people here and started this little experiment here on planet Earth. Now, it says in Genesis 6 that when men begin to multiply on the face of the Earth, in other words, when they begin to spread out, these original Earthlings from that era. That pre-existed before Adam ever came, he was to replace or replenish what was already here. Now we can't talk about it because we don't have any science, we don't have any Bible, other than the word replacement or replenishment, which is exactly what it means. And what it's replacing is that the disobedience, even before Adam, that was a rebellion of the mighty ones who wanted to help and assist. You see, it was, if you read Genesis chapter 6, It talks about, I wanted to read you in Galatians, I said 5, it's 4. Let me read that for you. Verse 25, I'll start there at the same time. For this Agar in Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now, everybody and their grandmother knows now that we're made to believe that Sinai is not in Arabia. But it's down in the southern peninsula between Egypt and Israel. And the Sinai, remember, it was the Sinai that was captured by the Jews in 56. And then again in 67, it was the Sinai, and that's because it was sacred ground, because that's where the house of Israel came into the land of Israel. That's not true. That's all a lie. You see, those people over there, that's all they do is lie. And they've got the world believing their lie. And the Bible says right here that Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. Huh. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free and the mother of us all. Mount Sinai in Arabia is where Moses went up into the mount when Yahweh sat down, the mighty ones now. When I say Yahweh, I'm talking about the Elohim. Hatch up company now. God is a spirit. It's a universal spirit that gives these Elohim the power. Michael had great power. Gabriel had great power. And Satan had great power. Let me show you something before I explain to you what happened when he went up into the mount. He went up into the cloud. Well, isn't that what Christ done when he ascended? He went up into a cloud? The same thing. And these super gods, let's say, have such great technology that from primitive man in our way of thinking, I mean, if you've ever seen a UFO and see the marvelous construction of a ship, I've seen them, and they're awesome. They have motherships that are 20 miles or bigger or longer in length. 20 miles. Our longest airplane that we have is the big jumbo jets, as they call them, 747 and on up, that can haul, can carry. The Concorde was a pretty big plane. These things are about 400 feet long. I know we call them massive colossals. And the motherships of these great gods are so big as compared to what we have done as primitive man. We're primitive in our sense. They have such knowledge and technology far beyond advanced. Why? Because they've been around for millions of years, or billions of years for that matter. They've had time to, you know, advance a little bit scientifically. Of course, they had pure minds. They didn't have sin as a causative form to develop weapons of war. They developed weapons of peace and prosperity. Well, you say, well, what's wrong with man? Why can't we get that? Did you know that since the 30s, since Tesla, that we've had the technology for every man, woman, and child in the world? Not here, only here in America, or through Europe, but every man, woman, and child in the world could have free energy, perpetual energy machines that could supply your home with light, electricity. I'm talking about free. It would produce more electricity than you would actually use, and they would be a surplus. But the governments and the utility companies would go broke overnight, and all the governments as we know them would fall to the ground, because they can't exist without someone supplying money to the central government. And you see, you say, well, we're not under communism. That sounds like the central governments of the world. They're all communists. That means that they are the ones that sit in the top of the pyramid that runs the government. Is supplied by the power or the workforce of the people, the peasants, if you will. And then they're just doled out what little that they give us. Did you know that there is already electromagnetic technology that can fly aircraft without motors or without fossil fuel burning diesel fuel or jet fuel, if you want to call it that? Kerosene, that's really what they burn. Our jets now burn kerosene. The fossil fuel, you know why they do that? It's because those who own the oil companies, and hey, Jim, and I wouldn't want to get into them, that's another 25-hour message, of who owns the major oil companies, and the banks that supply the money for you to buy your fuel. I'm telling you, it's awful. By the time you pay your taxes and your utilities and your transportation bills and your usury bills, I can't forget that, you are probably like the average person in the world. You are now head over heels in debt. And you'll never get out of debt. You'll die in debt. You'll die a slave. You'll die a slave. That's the way they're going to keep it until we have a breakthrough and we change the attitude of man in a sinful, lustful, powerful, ruling eliteship. If we can destroy that, and these are the dark angels of the deep lagoon that have perpetrated all this evil upon a generation with hardship and sin, we can all live radically free of all industrial pollution with lighter than air machines, with electromagnetic currents produced by machines that would produce more than they use it. Like I said, automobiles would be a thing of the past. We wouldn't need automobiles to run across the pavement. We can all have lighter than air machines that could travel through the air on the air itself. We could actually take the magnetic currents of these machines, and they're electromagnetic, and that's how they work in the function. It's just like fused nuclear energy, but it has no nuclear energy. It is electromagnetic. It's all proven. The technology has been here since the 30s, ladies and gentlemen. The state of Germany had already perfected lighter-than-air machines that could go through the air without fossil fuels. This was in the 40s. We have been given technology. Our governments have been given technology. They traded this technology with the dark angels that have fell from heaven. And they're only going to be here temporary because they have a time limit. Because there's coming a time when there will be a cleansing of all the evil and a removal of all of the blocked knowledge. We've been actually deprogrammed and killed and poisoned with foods, waters. Remember, the Bible says that the waters become poison. Now, no water is safe to drink. No water. You say, well, we drink distilled water. We drink bottled water. Well, bottled water is a joke. It's one of the greatest shams that's ever been perpetrated upon man. Unless you have a system to remove the memory of the water, and not many people do. John Ellis has a water machine that takes the memory of the original water, and there's not one drop of water being created since the water was created. It remains the same. We just have to keep reusing it. Now, the earth is 75% water. Man is 75% water. And so we match the cosmology, if you will, the material mineral makeup of the earth is compared to nature. That's what we are in our bodies, muscle and blood, 25%, as opposed to water, which is 75%. And then the gods, now let me repeat this, the gods give us the spirit of life. Somebody's in control of this, ladies and gentlemen. You ever notice a birthmark on a person? These spirits mark particular vehicles, flesh men, flesh babies, let's say, before they form in the womb, before the bone grows in the womb. And Saskatoon's, yeah, that happens. They don't even we are so primitive in our thought process and in our science and education. We don't even know how a bone develops in the womb and grows into a human being. We just don't have that knowledge. It's beyond us. Yet we are now cracking the code of the DNA. We are working on it. And the time will come when much knowledge will be increased, and all this is coming grudgingly, if you will, given reluctantly by the angels of darkness who have come in to hinder you, to oppress you, to miscegenate with you, and to control you, and to use you as feed, if you will, Father, for their cause, rather than for the cause of what you were created for. And this is the work of Satan and his angels. It's incredible. And yet, it's true. God is just not one little old floating in the heaven on a harp like we have been. We've been told that angels, you know, float around on harps and pillows and clouds, if you will, and play harps and strum harps all day long. Hey, what the Bible says, if you ever read the Bible, you know that angels come down and make war. Did you know there was war in heaven and there's been war on earth? Did you know that the forces of darkness and the forces of light, angels now, God-man, gods that are greater than we are, have come down here and fought on the earth? They have fought into heaven. There is evidence all over the heaven that you can see with a telescope. You say, oh, those pot marks, Pastor Buddy, oh, they were caused by meteor showers and things of this nature. Oh, really? You really think so, huh? Did you know that there is a debris, an orbit of debris, and right around the Earth, above the Earth, there is a asteroid belt, they call it, asteroids. And this is a fragmentation of a planet that used to be in our solar system that is no longer here. Do you know why that planet is no longer? That was Satan, the planet of Satan. He claimed this jewel among the stones. We're the fourth rock from the sun, they say. Or the third rock from the sun. And did you know that there is one rock in the planetary system that has been taken out? And this is a result of a war in the heavens? That these mighty ones who have the ability to obliterate a whole planet. You say, oh, I wouldn't believe that, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. Well, did you know now that we're told, and it's true, that we have enough explosive power through neutron bombs, not counting nuclear bombs or atomic bombs, spent fuel rods and things of this nature that create gigantic blasts in the atmosphere that start trigger reactions and they never cease. We have bombs that could actually literally destroy the earth. You say, oh, that'll never happen then. Well, in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations, the Bible warns us and tells us emphatically that Yahweh will cut short time and come back to destroy them that would destroy the earth. So man has the capacity to do that. Well, don't you think these super gods, these watchers that we're talking about here, the angels of the deep lagoon, the dark lagoon, these angels of darkness, that there is a film over our eyes, we see darkeningly, we can't understand, we can't put it together, but slowly and slowly and slowly more and more people are waking up to the very fact that we're not alone, that we're being visited by good and bad, and that there's inspections, or what we call examinations. Who would want to examine the earthlings? Why are they so interested in our species? Because I didn't know anybody was examined. There's literally hundreds of thousands of people, both professional. We're not talking about a bunch of incompoots. We're talking about people that are from doctor professions, lawyer professions, judges. It runs the whole spectrum of society have been systematically contacted and took up in craft and examined to look into the nature of a human. Or the physiology, or the blood, muscle, and bone of a human. Why are they studying us so intently? What is so interesting to them about us? Well, it's very simple. These are the fallen angels that lost their estate and had a curse put up on their genetics, their offspring. Remember now, they did have offspring. In Genesis 6, they begin to miscegenate. Now they're developing pregnancy programs. They are impregnated earth women with some kind of artificial insemination of starseed. And we're now having children from the earth mixed with the fallen angels again. This time they're kept out of sight. They're taken to the other planets, wherever they are. And they're hibernated and they're grown up and they're instructed and trained. These have great minds. Far above it's not the potential of a human mind. Did you know that the brain of a human, we only use a minute part of it, and that something has been stripped away to hinder our ability to use the majority of our brain, which if we have the brain in full usage, only using a minute part, if we had total usage, if we were connected back, somebody's unplugged the system of man's mind. Paul said we see darkened. It's because something has darkened. Somebody's had power to unplug the DNA cord, if you will, to most of our thinking apparatus. Think about if we had full capacity of our capacity of brain power, we would be greater than any supercomputer upon the earth. And yet we are limited in knowledge. But the Bible said the day will come that knowledge will increase. That increases now. Knowledge is increasing so fast that they can't write the textbook. They quit writing books and they started putting it on disk. And before they can get one disk completed and the knowledge revolution, other knowledge supersedes that even which they had, and people in professional ranks are continuously having to go to refresher courses to stay up with the technology and the knowledge that's coming in. It's unheard of. 100 years ago, man couldn't even fly in the sky. And now we're going to the stars. We're expanding. Have we been expanded secretly in a secret shadow government? Yes, we have, since the 40s. With the technology of Tesla, who developed the electromagnetic energies and harnessed the energy of the universe. This is the same universe that they were using in the pyramids, that could lift giant stones that weighed literally tons on our planet. They could render them weightless and float them up to any position that they wanted. And that's exactly how the pyramids were built. We got the technology to do that now. We have high-speed boring machines. These are atomic high-speed boring. They will bore 8 to 10 miles a day. That's composed. They build a tunnel here under the mountain here in our state park. And the tunnel is less than a mile, and it took them 4 years. And they were boring from both ends. It took them 4 years. Why did they do that? To keep you in the dark about the technology that they do have. They are connecting all of the inner tunnel systems under the earth back to the ancient tunnels that were here long before primitive man got another start from the flood era of Genesis chapter 6, where we see the miscegenation, and here it is now. I told you I was going to read you about the mighty angel Satan as we know it. Job chapter 1 and verse 5. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, and Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning to offer burnt offerings. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. This is Job, the oldest book in the Bible. When did his sons begin to sin? Are these in the days of what we would know as the days predating Genesis 6? When these great examples of minds of men, before that they were blocked and darkened, and the DNA pattern of the plug was unplugged, Did you know that there's 12 strands of DNA and we only collectively use two? You know the two serpents that goes up the pole of a serpent's staff of a physician? Is the two strands of DNA that are linked together in male and female aspect? Did you know that that male and female aspect has the potential to become God or gods? And that's been taken away to keep you dumb, ignorant, fearful, and superstitious, to keep you from achieving your potential ability to function at a much higher vibratory rate. The ancients were going to heaven and from heaven, as it's recorded. What did they say? What are you here for, Satan? And from whence comest thou? Verse 6, and there was a day when the sons of God, the same word that is in Genesis 6, the sons of God. That ain't sons of God there. God is a misnomer. It's sons of Elohim, headship company of mighty ones. That when the headship company of the mighty ones, the gods, at a conference, came to present themselves before Yahweh, Strong's number 3068, a much higher deity, one that was in charge. Somebody's got to be in charge here, folks. It's always been that way, and it always will be. So here he is. Satan was among the Elohim that came to present himself. For it says in verse 7, this is Job 1 and 7, and Yahweh said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth. To and fro. To and from. They were making the long flights at that time. And ladies and gentlemen, if I tell you how long it takes to get from one planet to the next, you know our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. Light years. Light traveling at 186,000 feet per second. And our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. Isn't it awesome that we can think about space in terms of distance, and yet in Yahweh or in the Spirit, there's no distance in time. Time ceases, and so does distance. So he's near. The Bible says he's nearer than you think. It's a piece of cake when you figure out the technology. Well, see, we've been given an illusion that it's vast reaches of space. It's impossible for us. It would take billions of years at our rate of travel to get to just a mere star. And out in the seven sister region of the Pleiades, which much is written in the Bible about it, where this is home to those gods that came from heaven came, and for the gods who from heaven fell. Two species here. One species good, or one segment of them good, and one bad. And here we are today. Man is classified in the same way. There is a good classification of man, and there's a bad. There's light and darkness, in and out, hot and cold. It's a paradox of opposites to teach you and give you the experience that you must need to overcome. Well, my heavens, I've talked myself out of time, so I got to get out of here. This is Pastor Buddy. You listen to Shepherd's Call if you'd like to write me tonight. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, to zip 37824. If you'd like to email me, you listen to me on internet, download, you can connect me to the internet through internet, and all you have to do is type in buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Lowercase letters, of course. And if you'd like to call me for some more information, I would be so glad to take your call. I'm live. This is the 14th day of September. We're getting right along to feast time in Andrews, North Carolina. So if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. And I'll see you Thursday night. This is Tuesday. I'll see you. I'll see you on down the line as we go into part four or part two. We should have been on part four, but we've missed several of our messages here because of a technical trouble, praise Yahweh. So if you would like to hear us every night, except Wednesday night, on the Shepherd's Call Ministry on microbroadcaster.com. You can tune in and just give us a call. We'll hook you up. Praise God. I'll see you Thursday night live on The Rock 100 FM.3.